بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد الله تبارك وتعالى ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. Chapter 3 includes the last 33 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and continues well into Surah Ali Imran, the family of Imran. The spotlights of the Surah Al-Baqarah, as mentioned here, begin with that jewel of the Quran, the verse of the seat, Ayatul Kursi, that was described by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام as the greatest verse in the Quran. And it glorifies Allah and mentions some of His attributes. Those of you who know it in Arabic will understand it, but those attributes are Allah, no God but Him, the living, the self-sustaining, subsistent, the supporter of all, no slumber or sleep can seize Him. His is everything in heavens and earth. Who can intercede with Him except at His permission? He knows what is before and ahead of His servants, and they have no command on any of His knowledge except what He permits. His seat, His throne, would accommodate the heavens and the earth, and it wouldn't tire Him to preserve them, and He is the highest, the most supreme. I would like you to take note that the beginning of this verse is Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. I'll tell you why later. And then there is mention of la ikraha fi al-deen. There is no compulsion in religion. Establish the freedom of religion, because Allah created the human being and made him free and made him accountable. Therefore, everyone is free to choose their own religion. We cannot judge them for that. It is their right, but they will be accountable for it before the ultimate judge, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is a spotlight on Ibrahim with his dialectic features, debating and arguing, first with the Nimrod, the king, who was the kafir. And when Ibrahim told him, "My Lord, my God, is the one who gives life and death," and the king brought two prisoners and killed one and spared the other, and said, "You see, I can grant life and death." And so Ibrahim answered, "My God is the one who brings the sun from the east. Can you bring it from the west?" And the man was taken. He couldn't answer. Again, an argument of Ibrahim was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim was really a solid mu'min. Ibrahim was the one who found Allah with his intellect, looking at the star, looking at the moon, looking at the sun, but finding that all those obeyed certain rules, he asked the question, who set those rules? And he came to find the one who lies beyond the creation, because he is the creator. And yet Ibrahim wanted to be not 100% sure, but 1000% sure. So he asked Allah, show me how to revive, do you revive the dead? And Allah asked him, have you not believed? He said, yes, I believe. I am a full believer, but I want to set my heart at peace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to bring the birds and to kill them and distribute their parts on various mountains and to call them, and they would come to him by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It seems that at long intervals Allah might give this conviction to not only prophets but even to some of his servants. Some people who are not prophets, because the verse reminds us of the story of the man who was traveling and found the antique village, the deserted homes and excavations of a previous people, and he said, how come Allah would bring this back to life after it has been lost this way? And Allah got him to fall asleep for 100 years and to rise again and to be asked, how long have you been asleep? And you would say, one day. And the answer came, no, we have been sleeping for 100 years. But look for you and look for your donkey, you are still preserved. Of course, he could confirm this by going to the people and finding that what he met was a people of 100 years ahead of his time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to our notice a strange kind of investment. We all take money to the bank to get a 5%, 10%, 20%. We do business to get 30%, 40%. But here the investment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is more than that, because he says it's like a grain of wheat. And you plant it and it gives you 7 ears of wheat, and in each one there is 100 grains, so it is 700%. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha, and Allah can give the multiples of this as He wills. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over a lengthy part of the surah, commands us to do that kind of investment, to give in charity, to give of what we like, not what we don't like. But He warns us, don't spoil it by showing off or by hurting the people to whom you give. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. You find some people doing really great things, but time and again they would say, I did that, I did that, I did that. And this is corrupting the good they have done. Or other, that is hurting the needy whom you gave. Like, how is that thing that I gave you? How did you use that money that I gave you? And Allah says, no. Better than that will be the good word, a nice word, even without giving money. Then the surah goes also over a lengthy part of it to the prohibition of usury and warning those who persist in it. And as a matter of fact, the modern day transactions and the variety and variability in them has led to the evolvement of the sciences of riba in the Muslim fiqh. In jurisprudence now, a big portion of the fiqh goes to the study of the monetary transactions and the evolving several rules and regulations and opinions. They are all unanimous, of course, that riba is prohibited, but you will find some which I think is very illustrative. Those of you who can read Arabic are commanded to read it, and maybe those of you who can translate, hopefully may be able to translate it. Then the surah speaks about loans and debts. if you take money, take a loan from someone, and how it is to be documented. And it is in this surah that it is mentioned that witnesses are required, and the surah says, get two male witnesses, and if you can't find, then get one man and two women. And this, of course, is one of the very inflammatory comments. It evokes inflammatory comments when people, non-Muslims, come and say, how come, how can the man, the woman be half the man? Islam is against women, etc., etc., etc. But of course, one has to be wise enough. It is only in monetary transactions that two women are required. In all other transactions or witnessing, the word of the woman is equal to the witness of the man. Indeed, there are kinds of witness where only the woman can witness and not the man. Like in those days, witnessing over the occurrence of pregnancy, of delivery, of abortion, of virginity. And in those days, it was only a woman who would be in a position to know about those things. And so men were denied that kind of witnessing. Nowadays, of course, the context is different because there are men gynecologists who specialize in the diseases of women. And therefore, the context has changed. And I think when we want to know any of those issues and to get a witness, a man gynecologist or a woman gynecologist, certainly a woman non-gynecologist, not a doctor, would not be accepted. Then historically also in those days, women didn't have any experience in handling monetary affairs. Only very few of them, like Khadija, the wife of the Prophet, who was a very successful merchant. And so the Quran states the reason why two are needed. It says, lest one forgets, so the second would remind her. And in those days also, people were very near the Jahiliyyah. And in the Jahiliyyah, women had a very low status. And it wouldn't be surprising if there was one man and one woman that he would look at her sharply or shouts at her, and she would be intimidated and get frightened. But with the support of a woman colleague, she would be able to persist and give her witness, very supported by her like. And anyway, the surah then states that when you make a loan, write it. Comes the issue of writing like they do today. And once written, I think this is preservation enough. And the surah requires that when a loan is being written, documented by writing, that the one who is later to give the money should be the one who dictates the scribe, the writer who is writing it. Also, the context has changed. Now, no one dictates the other. It is specialized forms for all kinds of loans. And usually, the majority of cases, it is typewritten so that no one has to dictate to another. And so we keep it in mind that we should look deep into the ayahs and should be aware of the historical and the cultural context and see where we stand vis-a-vis that. Then the surah goes into making it a must when somebody is invited to give witness, to answer the call and go and give the witness. And whoever keeps his witness and denies giving it, the verse says his heart is a sinning heart. And perhaps if we stretch this for present day life, and I leave it to your own thinking and meditation, things like election, political or school board, etc., etc. We seem to live in a time where everything in this community is decided by voting, and voting is a kind of witness. And to me, I feel that to give this witness would be also highly recommended by religion. And then there are the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Khawateem Surah Al-Baqarah, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commands us to read them. And he said that when those two verses at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah were revealed, an angel came to him and told him, you have been given two lights by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no previous prophet had been given. And these are the verse that says the prophet has believed in that which was revealed to him, wal mu'minun, and also the mu'mins, the believers, acquired the faith in that, and the kutub, the rusul, al-yawm al-akhir. These are the pillars of iman. When the Prophet was asked what is iman, he said, "An tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulih, wa an tu'mina bil yawm al-akhir, wa an tu'mina bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrih." So the verse states the basics of iman. And commenting on our iman, that is, the Prophet and us, human beings, in the Prophets, the verse says, لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. We make no differentiation, no discrimination between one and another of his messengers. And yet earlier in the surah, Allah says, تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض. Allah says, those messengers, we have raised some above the others. So how come Allah says this, and then the mu'mineen, we should only say we cannot make any differentiation between them. We cannot make any discrimination one and another of them. And the whole exercise, this is an exercise in ethics. Allah in a position to say we have raised some of the prophets above the others, but we, servants of Allah and human beings, should not trespass into divine domain, and all we have been ordered to say is we make no discrimination between one and another of them. And then Surah Al-Imran, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, and this is the opening of Surah Al-Imran. The opening of the surah is a quotation from the surah before it, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And then we are taught that Allah sent to the Quran, some verses are called the muhkam. The muhkam, very sharp, very discreet, very clear. Wal mutashabih, that can sometimes look in our eyes to be ambiguous. And people with ill heart try to nurture on trying to use the verses that are mutashabih in order to confuse the mu'mins. An example of the mutashabih in the Quran is everything relating to the description of things that will happen in the hereafter. You read the Quran and you find that the image Allah gives is a purely terrestrial image, like good food, like birds' food, like milk, like honey, like drink, like concerts, etc., etc. And yet, the Prophet والسلام, would tell us that in the hereafter, there will be what no eye has ever seen, what no ear has ever heard, and what no imagination has ever captured. And so we should know that the exact real meaning of an ayah might be something that is beyond even our imagination, and that Allah addresses us in the form we can understand. And then the surah goes to comment on the Jews. And there are three charges here against the Jews. First, killing their prophets. Second, very arrogant and proud about their wealth and riches. As a matter of fact, in another verse, the Jews would say, Allah is poor and we are rich. Hence the beautiful verse in the surah that says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say, O Allah, you are the king of the kingdom. You give authority to whom you will. You take it back from whom you will. You give whomever you will. You take from whomever you will. You insinuate day into night and night into day. That is very symbolic of you can change situations. One time you are in the day and then gradually, slowly you are in the dark at night. And don't therefore be cheated by your status, because one day you might be the richest of the rich, and very soon and in a gradual way you become the poorest of the poor. Then the third charge of the Jews is their denial of Jesus. Jesus was a Jew who went to the Jews, they denied him, and those who accepted him became the Christians. And then the surah addresses the Nasara, the Christians, and it tells us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his selective preparation for the coming of Jesus alayhi salatu wassalam, making him from the best of the best of the best of the best. You know, you go to the shop, you buy the best apples, and you sift them, you choose the 100 best, then you choose the 10 best, then you choose the one best. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah chose out of Adam's progeny Nuh, and then chose the house of Ibrahim, and then chose the house of Imran, all one lineage. And then there is the big choice, Lustifa, the choice of Maryam herself, and she was contacted by the angels twice. One to tell her, behold, O Mary, said the angels, Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you over the women of all nations. And this is the selection from the selection. And then the other contact with the angels is when they told her she would be the mother of a noble boy who would be Jesus. And she was, of course, very upset. How come I give birth to a baby when no human has touched me? And you know the rest of the story. When Mary was born, her mother thought and hoped she might be a boy to be pledged to be a full-time religious worker in the temple. But when she gave birth to a girl, she said, oh my God, she's a girl, and how can I devote her to be full-time with the temple? But Allah received her in a graceful reception and raised her up under the guardianship of Zechariah, who was the husband of her aunt. And when Zechariah used to go and visit her in her seclusion, he would find strange foods and the fruits out of season. And he would ask her, Maryam, how did you come to find this? Where did you get it? And she would say, it is from Allah. Allah gives whom he wills, what he wills, the time he wills. And so Zechariah, seeing that extraordinary things would happen, and his problem was that he had no children and wanted a baby, and seeing that this is a time and a place where Allah provides things beyond expectation, and so he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a progeny, and this led to the birth of Yahya, John the Baptist. Then Jesus was born, without a father, like the verse described, the similitude of Jesus with Allah is like Adam. Both were born without a father, and Adam was also born without a mother. What is the religion of Jesus? We know there are 404 Christian denominations, and one wonders what it's all about. And each thinks we only are right and the others are wrong. And there is debate, and you go to study and watch Christianity, those rituals and blood of Jesus and the various rituals and rites in the Christian religion. Well, the Quran tells us that Jesus' religion was much simpler than that. And the whole mission of Jesus revolves around four things. Number one, to confirm the Torah, especially as the Jewish rabbis tried to first corrupt the Torah and set it aside, because they started writing their own book, which is not the Torah, and still they abide by it until now. Second thing is the glad tidings of the coming of Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. The Paracletus will come after me, and the Paracletus means Ahmad, but when translating, they translated the Paracletus as the reformer and not as Ahmad. Number three, he would make lawful to the Jews some of the things which were unlawful to them, of the foodstuffs. And number four, which is the real message, is to rebuke the Jews for transforming the religion into just ritual, like a frame without a picture in it. And so they had forgone the spirituality and the beauty of the religion, the self-purification, the love, the forgiveness, etc. And they became just legalistic people without an emotion, without a heart. And these four are the Christian religion, as the Quran depicts: confirmation of the Bible, the mission of Muhammad, making lawful some of the foods that they made unlawful, and injecting the spirit into the religion again. But he wanted to confirm himself, and so by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could make some miracles. And in the Quran, there is one more miracle to Jesus not mentioned in the Bibles, and that is his speech as a little infant. Because, and this is very significant, because when Maryam brought Jesus to her family, of course the charge was one of adultery. And in Mosaic law, the punishment would be death. So what kept them from killing Maryam? Something very extraordinary, of course, that really would overpower them. And that was when Jesus spoke as a little infant in his cot. When the Jews did not believe and ascribed the miracles to be magic, then Isa asked his followers, "Man ansari ila Allah," who are my supporters to Allah? The word ansar means the supporters who come forward in order to help and support. And the Hawariyun, the disciples, said, "We are the supporters of Allah." Now there is something very important. The word ansar, which means supporters, which describes the followers of Jesus as Nasara, this word does not have a counterpart in the Bible. They call themselves Christians, Masihiyun, related to Christ. Not a single time in the Quran are the Christians described as Christians. They are described as Nasara. Nasara to whom? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, according to the Quran, we are not Mohammedans. And the Christians are not Christians related to Christ. The word Christ is there in the Quran, but the word Christians does not exist. Because the servants of Allah should be related to Allah, the servants of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the verse addresses both Christians and the Jews, and accuses them, they would go and express their iman and take it back again. They would take money unlawfully from the people because they said the goyim, the Gentiles, it's all right to take from them. And some of them would twist their tongues reading the Quran but not saying the Quranic words. That you might think this is part of the Quran. It's interesting because our brother Ahmad Sakhr, who, when he visited the Vatican, came to know that they are preparing a book and teaching Christian missionaries who would pose like Muslims and with the sweet voice like our two brothers here would read a book, but it's not the Quran. It is only to attract people under the guise that this is the Quran. Then there is the call to the Christians, the Jews, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, come to a straight way, not worship except Allah, not take one another as gods. And if they reject you, say you are Muslims. And then the Mubahala, let us come, bring your women, bring your children, and we come and pray together, supplicate together, may God's curse be on those who are telling the lie. And the unity of the religion across the long chain of messengers is in the verse that states and stipulates that we believe in all the messengers, and a final statement, Inna Dina Indallahi al-Islam, with Allah the religion is Islam. And this should be a warning for you. You should be frightened. Many of us are happy that the religion is Islam and we are the Muslims, therefore we are going to paradise. But always remember, on the day of judgment, people will be asked, why are you not Muslims? Some will honestly say, we didn't know about it. Some will honestly say, we looked at Muslims and found nothing to attract us to be like them. And then the finger of accusation will change to point at you. So make ready for the day and try and prepare an answer. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.